There are many ways that the RNIB partners with other organisations to help make a more inclusive society for blind and partially sighted people. One way is through visual awareness training, helping businesses and service providers to provide a better way in reaching their blind and partially sighted customer, clients and other service users. One recent and ongoing partnership is between the RNIB and the Metropolitan Police. And I'm glad to say that I'm here at the Met's HQ, New Scotland Yard, in central London with Stephen Weymouth, who is the RNIB's Partnership Development Manager and also Chief Inspector Carl Spur and Police Constable Lizanne Rice from the Metropolitan Police Services West Area Division. Hello, Stephen, Lizanne and Carl, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi, Toby.
Hi, Toby.
Hi, Toby.
Lizanne, would you be able to give me a bit of background as to the connection between the RNIB and the Metropolitan Police, as I think the connection started with a request from a member of the general public around self-defence classes that the Met was running?
That's correct. So I initiated a project with a local gym to run some self-defence classes, free self-defence classes for members of the public in our area, which is Uxbridge and the borough of Hillingdon. And in promoting those classes on Twitter, I had an approach from a local social group for blind and partially sighted persons, a group called Amigos, based in Uxbridge, and they asked if we could do a session for them. I like to do things properly and thoroughly. So I said, I'm sure we could do something, but let me sort of do some digging into what crime prevention materials we have in an accessible format so that we can give you the full package.
And Stephen, when the Met first approached the RNIB and asked about what services the RNIB might be able to provide to them, what was that sort of first contact like, and what were you able to offer them at that first initial stage? Because it'd be interesting to know what sort of happens when an organisation like the Met approaches the RNIB to become a partner and to take up some of the RNIB services.
Yeah, well, I believe initially I wasn't involved at the initial conversations with Lisanne, but I believe it came through our Connect team and onto my colleague, Tricia Smigel, who's the Partnership and Development Manager for London. Because of the work that I've been doing over the last 18 months to 2 years with RNIB's e-learning platform, Learning Choices, Tricia invited me to a meeting with Lisanne and a few of her colleagues to discuss, actually, not to look at the self-defence classes, is there a way that we can look at other things on how we can impart knowledge and support the Met Police to support their community, especially the blind and partially sighted community? So we had an initial meeting, it was a few months ago now, and it's escalated very quickly. And from our side, from RNIB, obviously part of our strategy is about helping people thrive in the environment and supporting that societal change. And the way that we can do that is by imparting knowledge and the enthusiasm to go beyond just looking at one isolated sort of project within the Met Police, but look at the Met Police from a wider perspective. And we started off with offering what we call our entry-level, low-level e-learning training around visual awareness. It's not there to give somebody, make them specialists in eyes. What it is there to do is to give somebody a little bit more knowledge of sight loss, understanding of the downfall, the pitfalls that are associated to sight loss, and give people a little bit more confidence to interact and support people. And that's where it sort of really started. And from that conversation is that many other things that we've been talking about, which Carl and Lisanne will tell you more about.
And Carl, for you, after that initial sort of approach to the RNIB, did you think, there are some services or some gaps in what we offer and how that is made accessible to blind and partially sighted people?
Yeah, I mean, very much so. So, I mean, look, I think we're extraordinarily lucky in the Met that we have constables like Lisanne, really, who are driven to engage with the public and to drive that confidence and to reduce crime by, you know, providing that prevention advice and improving the way that we engage with people. I really welcome the RNIB coming forward and essentially being able to provide us with all of this training for our officers. So when I looked at the provision that we currently have, I'll be honest, I think it's lacking. But I think there were some real quick wins, many of them low cost, no cost. And obviously I've been discussing that with members of the RNIB to see what we can deliver.
And Stephen, obviously, as we mentioned earlier on, one of the ways is through the visual awareness training, which I think was online as well. Would you be able to maybe just give me a bit of idea of what's involved in the visual awareness trainings, just so that people have an idea of what's on offer and what people might gain from it?
Yeah, sure. So we have our own RNIB, it's called Learning Choices, which is our online e-learning platform. Within that, we have quite a significant amount of very short, snappy e-learning modules, all on various topics, from how to guide somebody with sight loss all the way through to eye health, eye anatomy. So they make up very flexible training courses for organisations where they are a lot of the times unable to release staff for face-to-face training. These are very handy for people to be able to do in their own sort of time. They're very short in duration, 20 minutes up to about 40 minutes, but they're very impactful. And as I said, what they are there to do and aim to do is just to give that little bit more confidence and understanding of sight loss. So we've wrapped up four modules initially, which look at slightly different topics from, as I said, communication, how to guide somebody with sight loss, feelings, attitudes and emotions, and also eye health, eye anatomy. The secondary element to the eye health, eye anatomy also is there's an element of a prevention agenda with that, which is to help people understand how to maintain their own eye health.
And Lizanne and Carl, obviously a number of officers and staff at the Met have gone through the visual awareness training. And I think you've also had a bit of feedback from some of the people who've been on the training. What sort of comments and feedback have you had? And are there any sort of standout things around visual awareness that some of the staff and officers have pointed out that maybe they weren't aware of beforehand?
Yeah, of course. If I can talk about, because Lisanne's organised most of this training going out, if I can talk about one set of comments that I think your listeners might like to hear about, and then if I ask Lisanne to sort of summarise what the general feel was from the training. So one bit of feedback we got was from a detective sergeant who works for us, who's been in the Met for 26 years, but in 2014 actually lost his own sight. The Met, obviously, we employ around 36,000 frontline police officers, but we also have around 14,000 support staff. So there's lots and lots of roles covering a whole range of disabilities. So this is a detective sergeant who's involved in live investigations who is blind. And he really, really welcomed this, actually. And I think his take was that taking the knowledge that's provided by the training and applying it to the communities that we police, then that will go a real long way to build trust and confidence. And his hope, along with my hope, is that we'll be able to spread this across the whole of the Met. And I think there's genuine implications for UK policing, not just in London.
Just to say, though, first, from my point of view, I think the training is a crucial first step in taking any work we're doing with the RNIB forward to improve our service provision for those who are blind and partially sighted. It's a crucial first step. It's such an accessible format. It's really straightforward, but it enables so much understanding of visual impairment and the impact that that has on people and how those of us who aren't visually impaired can better communicate with those who are. And I think the training will break down those communication barriers. And I'm very hopeful that it will improve the confidence of the blind and partially sighted community that they can engage with the Metropolitan Police Service and they can get the level of service in the appropriate ways that they should.
What do you see as the difference now that some officers and staff have gone through the visual awareness training? What would be the difference on the streets for blind and partially sighted people?
So what's come forward from another one of our sergeants is how helpful and informative he found the training. It's given him a lot of confidence to approach visually impaired people and understand how he might be able to help. And another sergeant has sort of come forward and said how much the training has helped him understand how his actions can affect people. So it's made him a lot more self-aware in how he communicates with blind or partially sighted people.
And I think that's part of the thing, isn't it? It's about that approaching somebody and doing this in the right kind of way. And in a way, some of it is quite simple because it is sometimes just like introducing yourself and telling people who you are. And then people know, it's a member of the police.
Absolutely. One of our police constables summed it up very well. And she said that basically the training has offered practical and non-condescending advice on how to interact with persons who are blind and partially sighted. And that's the key, isn't it, really? Enabling the appropriate communication.
Exactly, exactly. Stephen, this is obviously an ongoing relationship with the Metropolitan Police. And how do you see this partnership continuing? And what sort of services will you be offering the Met in the future?
Well, and I think this has been the sort of beauty of the sort of hopeful, the rollout of our sort of entry-level visual awareness training. I think what's actually happened from there, and the Met Police and have been extremely proactive with us. But I think what happens then, if you have that little bit of knowledge, then what you start to do as an organisation is look a little bit more internally to see, well, actually, I have that knowledge. Where else can we put that in practical terms to make our organisation in various aspects a more accessible organisation? So there's been a number of sort of offshoots of the training initially, which I think Carl will mention regarding if a police officer approaches a visually impaired person, how does that visually impaired person actually know if that police officer is who they say they are. And there's a support line that the Met Police are very kindly are looking at actually offering to blind and partially sighted people, where they can contact without having to wait on a telephone line for a number of minutes to actually verify who that police officer is. So that's one way. The other way that we're looking at the moment is to offer some more training regarding communication into the communities via social media. So we're looking at setting up some like lunch and learn sessions for the Met Police comms team so that they can then, when they're posting, they can make sure that those posts are accessible. So those are a few things that we've already started. But I think the idea is that this is a long-term relationship where we can support over a longer period of time, but also that we can take this forward, as Carl's mentioned, and take this forward to go towards other police forces across the UK.
And Carl, what do you see as the sort of the other things that might come out of this? I mean, obviously, people might meet the police in the street kind of thing, but people might interact with police or members of staff from the Metropolitan Police in other areas.
Yeah, so some of it has already been mentioned. A lot of this is fairly new to me. I didn't know, for example, that blind or visually impaired people were so active on social platforms. My immediate thoughts would be things like, do we need audio files on our home webpage? But this is why it's important to speak to people like the RNIB and people who have real lived experience, because otherwise it's just what I think, which is not necessarily correct. So the intelligent design around our communications is really important. My reach is within to the west area of London. So that includes the boroughs of Hillingdon, Hounslow and Ealing. And obviously the aspiration is that the learning that we develop on West Area will be able to push to the other 12 BCUs. But in addition to that intelligent design piece, which my media team are already starting to use based on the advice we've been given, are the safe connection phones that have already been mentioned. So the safe connection phones were set up around the crisis in confidence from women and girls in policing following the atrocious murder of Sarah Everard. These phones were set up in order that women who did not believe the person speaking to them was a police officer had a trusted number that they could ring and receive confirmation. There's a bit of synchronicity here, because it occurs to me that any vulnerable person could potentially use that phone number in order to establish somebody's credentials. So I've secured permission that we can use our safe connection phone on West Area for blind or visually impaired people who need to confirm our identity. Another thing that we can do, which is similar to that, the safe connection phone would work when someone encounters a police officer in the street. But what about a request for service? Should you call 999 or should you call 101? It's a very simple process, actually, to set up a password with our control room so that when the officers arrive and present themselves, they can give the password and the person can be satisfied that a genuine police officer is on their doorstep. This could continue to grow. It's like a hydra, this. So there's the internal piece as well for us amongst our staff. The training, not only to give confidence in dealing with blind and visually impaired people, is important, but also the bit around eye health for our employees. So I think as an organisation, we'll find that really important. And then finally, your listeners might not like to hear, but sometimes a blind or visually impaired person ends up in our custody. or alternatively may end up being a witness to a crime and may need support in providing evidence. So I'll be examining how we do that better as well, and how we provide important things like rights and entitlements to detainees to ensure they're fairly treated. That's another area for me to examine, but not as much of a quick win as perhaps the others are.
And obviously now, having worked with the RNIB, do you feel that other police forces should maybe make contact with the RNIB and do some visual awareness training and follow up with other services as well?
So I would absolutely encourage that. I will be speaking to the College of Policing about the work that we do here, so to ensure that there's some kind of corporate memory around what's learned. The police is a large organisation and it's labyrinthine and things take time. But I think we have demonstrated, you know, we are capable of change, and I'd welcome it.
Stephen, if other police forces or other businesses or service providers would like to maybe make contact with the RNIB about visual awareness training or other services, who should they probably best contact, and is there anywhere that they can go to find more information?
Yeah, they can contact me directly, which I'll give you my email address, which is Stephen, Stephen, dot Weymouth, Weymouth, at rnib.org.uk. Or you can call the RNIB helpline and ask for me directly, where they will refer you into me. And I'm happy to talk to anybody.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Lizanne, Carl and Stephen, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about the great partnership between the RNIB and the Metropolitan Police.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.